Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Stay on what we've been talking about here, these ABCs, these six principles, and we're still on number one, this repentance of dead works. And man, I love what the Lord has for us today. I just really do. It's so good. So we're just going to kind of get into it. So I'm going to have everybody stand. We'll do the vision, then we'll do our verse, and then we'll get going here. So to build a people who are established in God's word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And this has been our verse here for a little while, so Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. You guys can be seated. So I think you guys, I've been with you guys enough now to just know how I am. Like, you know, I'm always asking why. You know, I'm like, why were the Hebrews, you know, why did, you know, I think it was Paul that wrote this letter or whatever, it really doesn't matter. But, you know, I'm thinking, I'm like, why does the writer of Hebrews, you know, address them? It's like, man, you guys are just hanging out on these elementary principles. So there must have been some kind of, they just weren't getting it, you know what I'm saying? And then I thought of me and I'm like, man, like sometimes I just don't get it that same way, you know? And then as we're going to learn here this morning too, it's like he has the same kind of questions as the Galatians and even the same kind of language in Romans. And it's like, man, and then it just got me thinking, you know, about kind of how I was on Wednesday's message in the law. And so the Hebrew children, I mean, he's writing this letter to Hebrew children. So they would have grown up under the law. Their righteousness would have been found in the law. You know, like Ryan was sharing last Sunday, the Pharisees were actually, you know, we looked down on Pharisees, but Pharisees were actually highly looked upon. You know, they were like the cream of the crop. They were the religious leaders. You know, they knew the Torah, the Old Testament, like the back of their hand. And so did the Apostle Paul. And so he's trying to, this new covenant has come in, and he's trying to tell them, hey, there's a different way. You're no longer justified by the works of your flesh. You're no longer, you know, the sacrifice of bulls and goats doesn't cleanse our conscience from sins. It's actually not even the sacrifice, you know, as we talked about Wednesday, how only by the blood sacrifice is there remission for sins. It's the only way you can be forgiven. So, but he's trying to bring in a whole new covenant, and they're just not getting it. And I really think we struggle a little bit today to get this too. So, I mean, this letter wasn't just written to the Hebrews. It was written for our well-being, for our, you know, for us to dive into this. So I just wanted to, I want to start out here in Romans 10. And again, like I said, you're going to see in Romans, Hebrews, Galatians, you know, Paul is like, he's kind of got this same thread. Like people just, and you know what? I think it's our nature, is what I was sharing with the first service. We want to be the ones to earn our way. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially Americans, you know, like, you know, we want to be hard workers. We want to, you know, build from the ground up. We want to own our house. You know, we don't want anybody to do it for us, you know, especially even as men, you know, it's like, you know, this is our house, you know, we're going to do my things my way. And, you know, and I think, and I think it's just that sin nature in us. We just want to boast. You know, we want it to be us that gets us to heaven. We don't want to just rest on Christ. And, you know, the Bible tells us that the cross is a stumbling block. And that's the stumbling block. It's because we don't really want to rest in Jesus. We don't really want to rest in the finished work of the cross. We don't want to say that, man, that's all there is. Like, I don't have to do anything. It goes completely against everything we've been taught. You know, I do the Santa Claus analogy all the time. You know, it's, you know, good little boys and girls get get good presents and bad little boys and girls get coal. You know, we're taught from that young age that we have to perform in a certain way to earn our parents' love, to earn Santa's love, to earn God's love, you know, and that's just, it's just so entrenched in us. And I don't think we're alone. I think it was entrenched in the Hebrews. I think it was entrenched in the Galatians. I think it was entrenched in the Old Testament people. And so we're going to dive in here, and I didn't say hello to live stream. I appreciate you guys being here. And for those that don't know me, I'm Derek Fink, and I'm one of the elders here. And, you know, I'm just, you know, I just love sharing God's word with you guys. So we're just going to jump in as we usually do here, and I'm going to start in Romans 10, and Paul is going to kind of break all this down for us. So it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel, is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." And this word knowledge is going to be a thread for us today. Knowledge is an intimate knowing, like a really, I know him. You know, Jenna and I have an intimate relationship. Nobody else in this room or in this world have a relationship like Jenna and I. So that's what knowing is. Knowing is I know them. I know that I know that I know. So they had this zeal. They were excited for God, but not according to real true knowledge. They didn't have that intimacy. You can go to the next one. "For they being ignorant," and like Fred's always talking about ignorant, it just means they didn't know. It doesn't mean they're stupid, they're silly, they're dumb, you know, none of those words. It just means they're just not aware. They don't fully understand. They don't have that full knowledge. It says, "For by being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted to the righteousness of God." You know, this is Paul praying for the Hebrew people because they were still trying to establish their own righteousness. That's repentance. That's what that elementary, that repentance from dead works. Why do we do dead works? Dead works because we don't know we're forgiven. So we think we have to work our way to something. We think we have to earn something. So we're constantly having to repent from that, rechange our mind of that, because it's just always there before us. It's like, nope, you're not doing good enough. You got to do a little better. Not doing good enough over here. Got to do a little better over here. Paul's saying that's immature. We have to get to the point of this maturity that we're going to see that we can get out of that. Next one. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone who believes." You know, like we talked Wednesday, you know, they're slaughtering lambs, man. I'm talking cutting heads off. There's, you know what I'm saying? They're splattering blood all over the doorposts of their house. You know, they're taking in the holy of holy. It'd be like us coming in here. We're slaughtering lambs. I'm up here dousing this thing with blood. You know, it's splashing on Gary and Nick. You know, it's just, it's going everywhere. You know, we're putting it on the doorpost, trying to keep the death angel out, you know, on Passover. And we're like, we're just waiting for, you know, God to come down and judge us, you know, that death that we deserve. But man, there's this blood that protects us. It says, "But Christ ended all that. He became sin for us that we might be forgiven all of our sins." Amen. Head to that Philippians verse. You know, Paul, I always say, so Paul, you know, as we're going to read in this verse, Paul knew the Old Testament like the back of his hand. That's why he understood grace so much. I feel like he's like the kind of the father of grace in the New Testament. Like, you know, but he, as we're going to read in this verse, like, man, he knew the law like the back of his hand. But what he's seen that everyone else had missed to this point was he's seen Jesus. He's seen Jesus all through the law, like we talked about on Wednesday. He's seen Jesus in the Passover. He's seen Jesus in his forgiveness in the scapegoat. He's seen Jesus in this year of Jubilee. So he's seen, even with this law laying right here beside him, he was able to bring this grace and mercy. God was still a merciful God, even in the Old Testament. And I love how Paul breaks this down. You know, and here he is. He says, "Beware of dogs and beware of workers. Beware of evil workers and beware of the mutilation." Mutilation was a circumcision. He's telling people to beware because people were coming into the Galatian church and telling them they needed to be circumcised to be saved because that was Jewish law. They wanted them to stay under that Jewish law. They wanted them to do all the sacrifices and do all the things. And Paul's coming and saying, no, the new covenant. I'm here. I'm a minister of the new covenant. And Jesus has done away with all this. Amen. "For we are the circumcision. It's not what we do. It's who we are." He's saying everything's changed. It's not something you do anymore. It's who you become. "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in our flesh." Man, we can put so much confidence in our flesh. And I got this, Lord. You know, I get up and go about my work day. I got this, Lord. I don't have anything. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, Paul says, if anyone else thinks that he might have confidence in the flesh, I more so. He's like, I don't care how good you think you are. I don't care what your prayer record is. I don't care what your church attendance record is. I don't care how much money you've given to the poor. There is nothing that you can do that was more righteous according to the law than me. Circumcised the eighth day. That was Jewish law, had to be circumcised the eighth day. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. It was at the top of the food chain in the Hebrew nation. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. I mean, he bled Hebrew. He was Hebrew. Like, this is my whole life. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Remember, like Ryan said, that wasn't a negative. The people he was speaking to actually looked at that as a positive. At this point, we think it is a negative, but he didn't see it. He knew that they wouldn't see it as a negative. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. He was persecuting this Jesus that had come that was bringing this new covenant. And again, they would have been like, you know, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Weren't here Wednesday, but if you've ever read Leviticus and you've read the Jewish law, can you imagine looking at that and call yourself blameless? It didn't say he was sinless. He said he was blameless, though, because you know what, Paul was excellent at executing the law. Even when he sinned, he knew the exact sacrifice to give, the exact, you know, ram to you know what I'm saying, cut up and throw all over the altar. He knew exactly how to atone for his sins every year. He knew it like the back of his hand. That's why he gets so excited when he actually sees Jesus for the first time. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. You don't really, he got so much prestige from what he knew. They say Paul sat under, I think it's Gamaliel is how you say it, but he was like the head high priest. Like Paul learned under, I mean, it'd be like us learning under the smartest person at Harvard. Like he was so revered. Like, man, that's why everybody freaked out when Paul got blind and started quit persecuting Jesus and started preaching Jesus. They're like, this guy went crazy. Because they're like, man, this is this guy that was here. He was the Hebrew of the Hebrews. But he said, I'm looking back at all that now that I know who Christ is, now that I'm intimate with Christ. And I'm counting it all as loss. Like I've lost it all. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge, that intimacy of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Man, a lot of translations call that a pile of dung, pile of poop, crap. That's what all his learning under the law. He knew the law. He could recite every law there was. He could actually follow it to a T, and if he couldn't follow it, he knew the sacrifice to do to get out of it. He knew it. And he said, I count all. He's like, there is no life in this. A big pile of dung. And I'd be found in him, Jesus, not having my own righteousness. See, that's what he had learned to earn his own righteousness through the law, which is from the law. But that which through faith in Christ, the righteousness, which is from God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and being conformed to his death. When we seek our own righteousness, we're going to walk in no power. There is no power in that. The power of the resurrection comes from finding Christ's righteousness in Christ, his blood. He's making us right. That's where the power of the resurrection comes. We can go to this one. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid a hold of me. You know what? I love this about Paul. He says in one point in scripture that he's like, I don't even judge myself. But what happens is we'll judge ourselves. Paul said, I forget everything that's ever happened. I forget all my shortcomings, I forget all my sins, and I press on to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid a hold of me. I got this prize that I'm heading for. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many are mature, have this mind. That's that maturity, growing and understanding that it's God's righteousness, not our righteousness. We can't earn our righteousness. There's not enough. I don't care how well you do. You could be sacrificing sheep and throwing blood. There's no righteousness in that. There's no life in that. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Amen? Isn't that awesome? God's going to reveal this to us. You know what I'm saying? He's going to speak this to our hearts. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us have the same mind. So go with me to the next one here in Galatians. So we're just going to continue this theme. Knowing that a man is not justified by faith, is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Amen. Only by Jesus. Hallelujah. Only by, we can't, I don't, again, we, it doesn't matter how much, how well we are at keeping the law. We can never be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners. When you're looking at that, the law is going to point us to our sin. We ourselves also found sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? No, certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. As long as you stay, that's what they were doing. The Galatians wanted to be, they were trying to put themselves back under the law. As long as you stay there, you're going to think you're a transgressor. That's how you're going to view yourself. You'll never see yourself as forgiven. You'll never see yourself as the apple of God's eye. You're just going to see yourself as a transgressor. And then Paul's got the answer. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. He said, that's all dead. It's gone. The law is no more. I have been crucified with Christ. I mean, you know how many times we quote this without everything else we just read? This is what we have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And now the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the faith. Paul said, I'm giving up all this law. I'm giving up these rules and regulations that I have to live by to try to make me right with God. And I'm now going to switch. I'm going to now live this faith in Christ. I'm going to trust his work on the finished cross. Remember, Jesus took our sins as far as the east is from the west. He died and was buried, and he took our sins to hell to get the keys of death. And he did that to never be remembered ever again. That's what he was going to put his trust in. But the Galatians, everyone, they wanted to put their trust in their own works. That's how we're the same way. And I think we're lying if we say we're not. We're always looking into ourselves like, how can I be better? How can I be better? But it's Jesus the whole time. And that's the whole thread of the Old Testament. Paul is trying to get them to see Jesus from day one. He's saying, look at him through all this stuff. Who has bewitched you? As we're going to see here in a minute. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Man, I've said this so many times. If what I'm saying right now isn't true, we might as well pack it up and go home. If you can earn your own righteousness, what do we need Jesus for? There's no point. You don't need him because you're going to be able to establish your own righteessness. But we can't. We need him. So he goes on to the next chapter in Galatians. We'll go to there. Oh, foolish Galatians. Everything I just said, he just calls them foolish for thinking that. He said, man, you guys are fools. Someone's taking you for a ride. You know what I'm saying? Someone's lying to you. I don't know how many ways I can say it. You know, you are being duped. You're being duped if that's what you believe. Who has bewitched you? He takes it another step further. He said, you're being bewitched. You're under a spell. If you don't believe that Christ is your only righteousness, you're under this spell. That you should not obey the truth, but for whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. He's like, well, explain it to me, because I don't understand. Did you receive the spirit of works of the law? Did you receive the spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How'd you hear? I don't know about you guys, but I heard it by faith because my works stunk when God came to rescue me. Like we were talking Wednesday, that song, love came down, rescued me. Man, I didn't have any righteousness, no works, no nothing. And he came into that place and he got me and he rescued me. And he did the same for you and you guys. That's how he works. So Paul's saying, how did you guys figure it out? How did you come to faith? And are you so foolish? He calls them fools again. You guys still are being duped? Having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by your flesh? Man, don't we all do that? Man, hallelujah, I'm saved, I'm free. Free, no bondage. Man, I was so on fire for the Lord the day I got saved. Man, it was crazy. I, I had an apartment on West Street, double, and I got saved. I had all this stuff from drug money I'd bought. And my Lord said, just give it all away, Derek. I started giving it all away. My buddy Wes comes up there. He's like, dude, he's like, everybody keeps calling me. They're like, Fink done lost his mind. He's giving all his stuff away. You got to give up to West Street. He's giving away TVs and PlayStations. And, you know, you just go crazy. You know, it's like, Lord, I'm free. I'm set free. And then what happens? I become the fool. I get bewitched. And I start thinking that I got to perform to keep that love in my heart. And so then I start looking at myself. I start to walk off that boat towards Christ. I start sinking because I'm trying to establish my own righteousness. And I can't be the only one. Hebrews weren't the only ones. Now he's calling the Galatians fools. He does the same thing in Romans. Give me that. So now let's go into Galatians and later on in chapter 3 here. What purpose then does the law serve? Well, why even have the law? I mean, that's a legit question, right? You know, why even have the law? Like, God, what are you doing? You're playing with our emotions here? Like, we're confused. It was added because of transgressions. Till the seed should come, Jesus, whom the promise was made. The promise was always there. The promise was always there. But God used this law, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Like, I always love, Paul's always raising rhetorical questions. Certainly not. For if there had been a law which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. I mean, I always say it's a good thing I'm not God, because that's probably the way I'd have figured it out. And honestly, if you ever wonder if God was American or not, I feel like this verse right here tells you he wasn't. Because in America, we would make it to where your only righteousness would come by the law. Only if you did good enough deeds. How many times do you ask somebody, hey, you think you're going to go to heaven? They're like, yeah, I think I'm a pretty good person. They're everything's by the law. They're like, they got their bad deeds on this hand, their good deeds on this hand. They're like, I just hope. You know, they just asked President Trump not too long ago, are you going to go to heaven? You know, and you can see it in his mind. He's weighing it, man. He's like, dang, my bad deeds. Yeah, there's a lot more of those than probably not, is what he says. Because he's looking to establish his own righteousness apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. But the scripture has confirmed that all are under sin, right? Romans, he's just saying Romans here, a letter he already wrote, that all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. We were kept under this guard. You know what? I believe this guard is there because we're tempted to try to puff ourselves up. So he had to put this guard so we wouldn't get too self-righteous. Because, you know, as you're reading Leviticus, you're like, man, I can't live up to that. Then you're like, man, scapegoat, praise the Lord. And then you're reading some more Leviticus. I feel like God just placed them perfectly. He's like, halfway through, he's like, yeah, they need a break. You know what I'm saying? It's getting rough in here. Like, I'm going to give them some Jesus. And then we get to 25, and we're like, yeah, they're about to really lose it now. And so, man, I got to get the Jubilee in there. I just got to free them from everything. Amen. But we were kept under guard by the law. It keeps us under guard. Kept for the faith, which would afterward be revealed. Jesus Christ has been revealed. Amen. 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 The faith has been revealed. Next one. Therefore, the law is our tutor to bring us to Christ. Man, if you're looking at the law, really looking at the law, you're going to feel pretty crappy. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to Christ. Like, man, I can't do it, Lord. I can't save myself. There is no, I cannot fulfill this. So it takes you to Christ. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. That we could trust in him, have faith in him, have faith in his finished work, have faith in him as the scapegoat, faith in him as the Passover blood, faith in him as the Jubilee. They didn't earn the Jubilee. It just showed up out of nowhere. It just showed up. All of a sudden, this 50th year, boom, the trumpet sounds. The salvation of the Lord comes out of the hill of Zion and saves us from all of our sins, all of our debts. He just showers us with that. That's justification by faith. Just believe. What did we say Wednesday? How are we going to believe? Hearing comes by, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We got to keep hearing this because there's 1,000 other voices that are telling us that this is a lie and you're preaching too much grace and you're going to give them a license to sin if you preach too much grace. But God is grace. God is love. It never says God is the judge or is judge. He isn't judge. He can only judge out of that love because that's who he is. He isn't judge. He does judge, but he isn't judge. He is love. He is mercy. He is grace. He is forgiveness. Yeah, we were talking just, you know, how in the Old Testament, you know, every year they had to do what I was saying. Man, they're chopping up sheep. They're plastering blood all over the place. But every year they had to do that because the consciences could never be cleansed from the sins, right? Only by the shedding of blood can there be this remission of sins. You know, and I was just thinking of this picture. You know, I know court really well because I used to spend a lot of time there. And, you know, I want you guys to picture this courtroom. You know, God's the judge. He's sitting on the judge. And, you know, I'm the defendant. I'm on trial. And we're going to do a juryless trial. This is just a judge trial. I've subpoenaed, you know, I've put in my submission for that. You can put in a submission for that and you can get a judge to oversee instead of your right to. You can waive your right to a jury trial. So we're going to say we did that, and we're going to say I'm broke, because I was at the time, and when you're broke, you get the public defender. If you ever had a public defender, we used to have a name for them. It was called the public pretender, because we knew if we had the public defender, we were going to jail. There's just no way around it. If you've ever been to court, if you couldn't afford a lawyer, you're getting 6 months. Yeah, Gary's dying over here, because he knows how it is. So then the number one prosecuting attorney is against you too. I'm talking, you know, O.J. Simpson trial, prosecuting attorney type stuff, like high end, and that's the enemy, right? So here I am, and the prosecution's just building this case. The accuser of the brethren just building this case against Derek Fink. He's like, man, Derek's done this, Derek's done that. We're rolling through Leviticus now, right? And it's like, yep, he failed there, he failed here. I mean, the charges are just racking up. We're talking misdemeanors, felonies. It's just going, it's going, it's going. And I'm looking, I'm just like, man, like, yeah, I did all that. But you don't admit that. You know what I'm saying? You're like, nah, man, I'm innocent. Everybody's innocent in jail. So you got this scene going on, and the accuser's just hitting it and hitting it and hitting it. And Jesus is your defense attorney, you know, right? He's the public defender. You haven't given him any money. You got nothing to buy his assistance. And you know what? He stands up, and just like a good old public defender in Sydney would do, he's guilty, Your Honor. He's supposed to be representing you, right? You know, he's supposed to have your back. He's supposed to be trying to get you a lesser. And he just stands up in the midst of all this. He's like, man, this is some overwhelming evidence. This guy is, yeah, I would just lock him up and throw away the key, Judge. And you're like nudging me like, no, man, like you're supposed to represent me. But then Jesus goes a step further. And I think this is where we forget and we don't really rest in this, like I've been saying. Jesus steps up and he says, Judge, you know what? My friend over here is prosecuting, he's 100% right. Derek deserves to spend the rest of eternity in hell. He's guilty of all these things. I was in prison with a guy that was doing 4 consecutive life sentences. I used to think about him all 800 years, I think is what they gave him. And I just remember thinking like, hey man, 800 years. Like, I mean, you know, he did some pretty bad stuff, obviously. But that's what it is. It's like, you're there and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna run all this consecutive. You know, just one sentence, one life sentence after another. You're going to be in there and you're going to rot. And actually, you get a death sentence. You're eventually just going to get the death penalty. And Jesus says, yep, you're right. He deserves all that, Judge. And then he steps up and he says, but if you'll let me, I'm going to take his place. I can't defend him. He's guilty. And I know you have to punish somebody today. Somebody has to pay for all these crimes that are done. It's called restitution in the court system. Restitution always has to be paid. But he steps down as your defense. You didn't pay him anything. It's not like you gave him a big check and he's like, well, at least my family will be taken care of. You know, I'll just go ahead and take this sentence and my family will have some money. Nope. You didn't pay him anything. He doesn't owe you anything. He steps up and says, I'm going to take your sentence. I'm going to do all of eternity. Remember, we talked about it, the scapegoat. The sins were laid on him. The scapegoat had to go to the depths of hell. Remember, if Christ didn't, it said if he first ascended, he also descended. That's where he took him. He took that prison sentence that we deserve, to take our sins to hell to never be remembered ever again.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.